This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am so happy to be with you. I'll tell you what, you make my day. You surely do. And when you call in, oh my goodness, it just makes me giddy with joy. We are always here for you at Women of Grace at this same time on this same station, discussing issues of importance to your life and your faith. We invite you to join us Monday through Friday. I often like to say, you know, set your alarm by it, right? Now, today, it's not necessarily an alarm clock is probably your phone. So set your phone to join us every day. And if you're setting your phone and, you know, it goes off and you are not in front of your radio, know that you can still listen to us. You can. You can listen to us via the EWTN app. It does stream radio live and it streams television live. I mean, come on. It's so portable and handy. You should take it with you wherever you go. And that's the app I mean. And of course, I know you will have it if it's on your phone because we carry our phones everywhere today. So all of that being said, I love when you join us Monday through Friday and spend this time with us. It's Wednesday. You know what Wednesday is on Women of Grace? I've added another W word because I just love alliteration. It's a weird and wacky Wednesday on Women of Grace. Woohoo. We're not weird and wacky just on Wednesdays because talking about this kind of stuff makes you a little weird, makes you a little wacky. All of that being said, Sue Brinkman is with us and we're going to get into a really, really fascinating topic today. We're going to be talking about false prophets. How do you discern? I mean, this is what we've talked about for so very, very many weeks, months, and years here on Women of Grace on Wacky Wednesdays. It's the whole process of discernment. How do you know if something's of the Lord or you don't know that something's of the Lord? Is this methodology okay? Is this thought process okay? Is this ideology okay? Is this therapy okay, right? And what tells us if it's okay? Well, the way in which we employ that beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit known as the gift of discernment. But you know, there's a process for that gift of discernment. We are going to uncover it for you today. For that reason, we want to get deep. We want to do some teaching. I am going to encourage you to get your tablets out, to get your notebooks out, or if you take your notes on your phone, which I cannot do. But if you can, and you want to take them on your phone, that's perfectly fine. I get your pencil and pen ready, or get your fingers ready, nimble them up a little bit, you know, exercise them a tad so that you can take down this valuable information. Now, because we're going to be doing this type of a teaching today on a very important topic that if you employ it, you're going to be able to figure a lot of this stuff out for yourself. Because we're going to be doing that, we're not going to take calls today. It's a strange day when we don't take them on Wednesdays, but today is one of the days when we are going to dig deep into this topic, and I think it's going to be most useful, most beneficial, quite helpful for you. So this is all about you. Yes, it is, because we don't want you to be misled. We want you to follow the voice of the one and only good shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks to us through sacred scripture, speaks to us through Holy Mother Church, and speaks to us through the beautiful teachings that we have by way of her, and speaks to us in our time of prayer, which we always need to discern to make sure it is the voice of the shepherd. So anyway, I think you're going to really enjoy today's program. I do want to remind you to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. All kinds of valuable things, good things available for you there. And, you know, things that will not mislead you, but things that will guide you to the fullness of truth that resides in our Lord Jesus Christ. We've got our store available for you with a lot of Women of Grace logo. If you are not purchasing Women of Grace logo, let me invite you to do it. I personally love our tumblers. Oh my gosh. First of all, they're very pretty. Second of all, they're very, very useful. Third of all, they are very portable. They're just a very nice size. I think they're a full 20 ounces, but they're a little taller, a little slenderer. And so, ladies, they fit very, very neatly into your tote bag or your handbag. They come with a straw. I like that feature too. So get out there and take a look at those. Let me also tell you that all of our programs are available for you there. By that, I mean our radio and our television programs are archived for you at our website. So you can check all of that out. But pertinent to our show, our New Age blog is right there. It's right on the homepage. When you go out there, you'll see it on the homepage. You can access it directly by going to newage.womenofgrace.com. You can access it that way directly. But I invite you to go to the website because, as I say, there's all kinds of good things that are there for you. Now, this blog is one of a kind. I've shared that with you in the past. I'm going to keep sharing it because it's so true. There's not another thing out there that is like this. Sue gets questions from you all of the time, and she writes articles about them. Do you know how many are posted? We have about 1,600. She adds to that all of the time. I keep using that figure. There's probably more than that. I don't know. I've never gone out and done an exact count. But, you know, our records there tell us that's probably close to where we are, either a little bit more or, you know, a little bit less. So we're in that range. That's a whole lot of information for you. And you can access those articles by topic, which makes it even more user-friendly. We also have a podcast for you at our website that Sue does for us. It is under library. Just go to Grace Under Fire, Exposing the Darkness, and you can look up topics and listen and watch Sue share about them in podcast fashion. So that's all available for you. A listing of where we're going to be in terms of speaking engagements and Women of Grace functions is available for you there. And we sure do want to see you at one of our upcoming events. I mean, you know, when I meet you and you say, oh, Johnette, you know, I listen to Women of Grace on my radio or I watch Women of Grace on my television, it makes me so happy because then I know that we are fulfilling our mission of bringing the healing love of our Lord Jesus Christ to everybody we possibly can through the airwaves and our Women of Grace mission to do what? To transform the world one woman at a time. And so I know we're achieving our mission. And I just love when I see you in person. And I know that God is working in your life in incredible ways by way of the good programming that EWTN provides, the great guests that he entrusts to me on my television program, and by way of the great calls that you call in with that we have an opportunity to respond to over the airwaves of radio. So I do want to let you know about all of that good stuff that's available for you there. Again, we are not going to be taking calls today. Why not? Because we are going to delve very deeply into a wonderful, wonderful topic that is going to aid you. It's sad we have to talk about such things like false prophets. They've been with us, though, for millennia. You know, they've been with us for millennia. They were there at the dawn of human civilization in the form of the serpent, right? And he was a lying prophet. He was saying, no, 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 you surely will not die. Boy, oh boy, the father of lies. He started that whole ball rolling, and it's rolled all through the history of man up to the present day, and we've got a plethora of it today. We are infested with it today, but we're going to get you out of the morass. Yes, we are. We're going to be doing that just on the other side of this break. Our person today, always, is Sue Brinkman, that wacky woman of Women of Grace Wednesday. And I know that you're going to benefit by what Sue has to share with us today. So I'm asking you to stand by. Stay with us. We're coming right back. Well, there you hear it. That is the wacky music for Wacky Wednesdays right here on Women of Grace Live, where we talk about the weird and the unusual so that you don't get trapped by any of it. Today, we're going to be doing more of a teaching than we are taking calls. We're not going to take any calls, as a matter of fact, today. Sue is going to share with us, you know, rules of discernment, so that you can really begin to dig deeply into that which you hear and see, that which is presented to you to do, and make a decision as to whether or not this is of the Lord. You know, and we are doing this because we've got so many false prophets in our midst today. Voices that are out there saying this, that, or the other thing. Voices that, you know, are more about hype than about help. voices that really, I think, compromise our capacity to hear the voice of God, because we're paying our attention to them rather than to the revealed truth of sacred scripture and the teachings of the church, right? And that's, you know, that's part of this discerning process. Discernment, as I mentioned to you prior to the break there, it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. We get it. Now, when you think about it, the Holy Spirit is very pragmatic, right? I mean, God loves to thrill us with all kinds of little beauties and wonders that just appeal to the senses and lead us to Him, because they reflect His glory and majesty in some way. Even the teeniest, weeniest, and bittiest of bugs, you know, it's a cosmos unto itself. And what about that? Well, it tells us about the majesty of God that could create such a tiny creature that functions so perfectly. So all of it is meant to delight us. But God is pragmatic in the way in which He deals with His people. Holy Spirit is pragmatic in the gifts that He gives. Each one of those gifts is useful. It's meant to be used, and He doesn't give them, you know, just for the sake of it. He gives them because He knows we need them. So all of the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we receive are necessary for our growth in God, for the capacity to keep us free from the errors and the lying tongues of a day and age. And the gift of discernment is there for that reason. It's a I use the word pragmatic. You know, we could even say it's somewhat utilitarian, in that it's really, you know, a useful gift. So Sue is going to be talking with us about it today in light of the topic of false prophets. As I say, there's a plethora of them today. We do not want you to go astray. So Sue, hi, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful, and I love that extra W word in there, weird and wacky Wednesday. Weird and wacky women of Wednesday. No, wait. We can go on and on with that one. That's a good one, though. I like it.
I do, too. Well, it's very poetic. You know, I was an English teacher, so I love all of those little conventions of literature, and that is alliteration. So y'all can write that down. It has two L's in it, alliteration. Anyway, we're not going to spend – I think it has two L's. I better go out there and check that. All that being said, might only have one, but all of that being said, I'm delighted by this topic because it's so important, and it really it's at the heart of what you do. And if I may say, I mean, you've given away a big secret here. I mean, this is the way you do your research, you know. And let me just say, you know, Sue is on staff at Women of Grace, and she is there to what end? Well, she does a whole lot of things. Her primary end is this. Her primary end is to discern the truth from the falsehood for us, so that we don't have to go through the exercise. But it's a good thing to go through that exercise, mm-hmm. because, you know, you can't contact Sue directly, and maybe your question doesn't get answered for a little while, and maybe you're not available on a Wednesday, and you need that response in a pinch. So it's very, very useful what we're going to be sharing today, as I mentioned, and very, very necessary. One of the other things Sue does at Women of Grace is she conducts our book studies. And I just want to put in a plug, Sue, because we've got book studies that are coming up. And I really, really do want for all of you to join us for these. The people that join them love them. We discuss fascinating books that help you to grow in your relationship with the Lord. And, you know, I'll tell you, we're in the midst of a trifecta of three small little books. And on May 27th, which is in the not too distant future now, folks, we are going to be discussing a beautiful book by Father Jacques Philippe. It's called In the School of the Holy Spirit. You know, we're talking about the Holy Spirit today. This is in light of Pentecost coming up. It's a perfect opportunity for us to learn more about the Holy Spirit and to learn how it is that the Holy Spirit operates. And this book will do that. But Sue will help us unpack that book and dig deeply into it. She's an excellent teacher. And I'll tell you, we've got a steady group of people that come. But I think it's exciting, Sue, to watch the numbers of individuals that are growing that group, because people will come to one and then you're going to want to come to another. Why? Because they're so good. So May 27th, the information's there for you at our website, womenofgrace.com. So I invite you to take a peek at that. Sue, let's talk about this. We talk about prophets. Prophets do exist. The prophetic gift is a gift of the Holy Spirit, right? But there are false prophets out there.
Oh, our time is loaded with false prophets right now. I look at some, I just posted a blog this week on it, and really what I'm doing in the blog, Johnette, is asking for prayer for these false prophets.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're in a lot of trouble. And in many cases, they don't understand Christianity. That's why they distort it. You have people like John Edward. He is a practicing medium, right? He contacts the dead, and he prays the rosary before giving a client a reading from one of their deceased loved ones. He prays the rosary. He even wrote a book about the rosary. But not to encourage devotion to Our Lady, when you look into the book, that's not what it's about. It's because his spirit guide suggested he does it.
Hmm.
And because he believes it's a great way to bring energy and creativity into your life. So this is these are false prophets. Teresa Caputo, another medium who claims to be a practicing Catholic, and she has a statue of Mary in her front lawn, even while making a living off of one of the gravest sins against the First Commandment, which is necromancy. And then you have false prophets like these, I think, are even more difficult. Kenneth Copeland's Word of Faith movement kind of distorts scriptural teaching. And he distorts like the way the Lord's promises about answered prayer by teaching that words have their own kind of power. And if you speak what you want, you're going to get it, regardless of God's will. You can speak it, and God's got to do it. This is where the person who's not really well catechized, they're not going to be able to discern things like that. They're not going to know that that's heresy. So you have to be really on your guard with this stuff. If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And yeah, it's not true. And well, you need to be really careful about it.
Well, this is what gets people confused. And, you know, it's that in and of itself is heretical, the system by which they get confused. And that's called syncretism. It's blending mm-hmm. together, really, in many ways, incompatible ideologies. So here we have, you know, something more than an ideology. We have the faith. And we have aspects of the faith, and we have symbols of the faith, if you will, right? Things that refer us to the faith, to a deeper meaning, you know, a deeper a concept, a deeper theological truth that leads us to God. We as Catholics embrace statues or the concept of statues, not because we think the statue is a god. We do not. But what we do know is that when we see that statue, it is a sign that puts us in mind of heavenly things. And the one who is the creator of the heavenlies, God himself, right? So, you know, but they'll take that, and here you mentioned Teresa Caputo, and you mentioned Jonathan Edwards, you know, two of what we have, our rosary and Statue of Our Lady. You know, the rosary meant to lead us into a meditation on the mysteries of the life of Christ. The statue of Our Lady referring to who Mary is. She is the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. She is the mother of God, referring us to the fact that she is our spiritual mother, right? So people will see that and they will say, yeah, and we've heard this, Sue, time and again. Yeah, but she's got a statue of Mary in her front yard, or yeah, he's got the rosary, or yeah, she gave me a medal of St. Michael. Well, that doesn't exonerate it. That's the lure of the devil. Now, are these people complicit? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe they don't know. Maybe, and that's why you want prayer for them. If they're complicit and they're doing this intentionally with intentionality, well, that's a whole other matter. They need prayer because they're in deep sin.
Exactly.
So, you know, there you have it.
And we don't try here to make those kind of judgments about why they're doing the things that they're doing, because we don't really know why they're doing it.
Right.
I personally believe that in the majority of the cases, I'm going to say almost as many as 90% of the cases, they truly just don't understand what they're talking about. They don't understand the New Age stuff that they're talking about. So many of them, they don't understand what this energy is, that is a putative form of energy, that it's not scientifically substantiated. They don't know that. They believe in chi, ki, prana, universal life force. They've never really dug that deeply into it, and they're out there selling it to people.
That's
so
right.
A lot of them just don't understand Christianity, for instance, in Reiki. I give this example in the blog. I actually link you to the article of somebody who is an International Reiki Association, where they claim that Jesus was using Reiki to heal people.
I know. That frustrates me. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Me.
I know. And it's what they're doing is they cherry-pick the scripture.
Yeah.
In such a way to make it appear as though Jesus used Reiki to heal people. Like when the woman touched his robe and he said, power went out of me. That was Reiki power. That was going. No, it wasn't. What does Jesus say to him? It turns around and says, my daughter, your faith has healed you. She wasn't healed by some kind of energy force. She was healed by her faith in Jesus.
Right.
But this is what they do. And yeah. and if you're not really up on your faith, you're going to very easily get snickered into this stuff. And truly, it's sad. It's very, very sad. And I'm glad that we have a chance to do what we're doing. It's very gratifying work. And I'll tell you what else. You will learn your faith mm-hmm. by asking these questions. You will you will really learn what our church teaches and really come to love what it teaches. You'll yeah. understand that it is the truth. Mm-hmm. When you start to research it.
Well, it's interesting to me because I believe it was last week, we had a caller that called in right at the end of the program on Wacky Wednesday and said, you know, this went on in her family and, you know, all of these people are into crystals and readings and all of these things. And she gave them copies of the articles on the blog pertinent to that. So she was evangelizing. She was preaching the truth by giving them, you know, giving them the truth, handing it to them in blog form. So I do want everybody to know that you can download those articles. We have had people, Sue, how often throughout the years when this stuff is being introduced into their children's classrooms at school, they have downloaded this information, taken it, shown it. Some of them even going to school boards when they couldn't get anywhere mm-hmm. with the, you know, the authorities in a given school. So, you know, when I think about the way that God's used you to educate his people, it just gives me chills. So what the point is here is that the information is available. We need to use it and we need to get it out and we need to pray for the people that are involved in this. Yeah. People run off to all of these fests. Look at what happened in the garden. I made reference to the first false prophet, the devil, right? You know, what did he do? He lied, but Eve was gullible. You know, Eve was gullible and she was enticed. It looked so good, that piece of fruit or, you know, on that tree. It looked so good. It was beautiful to the eye. It was good for eating, right? Scripture yeah. tells us those tactics of his have never changed. And that's the case with this stuff.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, the devil is, he's the ultimate spin doctor. That's what mm-hmm. I call him. You know, Reiki's just a massage. Contacting the dead through mediumship, well, that's just bringing closure to the grieving. Yoga is just exercise. Transcendental meditation is just a relaxation exercise. Alternatives based in energy medicine are just natural ways of healing. You know, he's very good at spinning stuff. And like you said, it sounds good. Mm-hmm. It sounds really good. It's enticing. This is how he tempts you to get involved in this stuff by telling you, oh, there's nothing wrong with it, nothing wrong with it. Then after you get involved in it and you find out there is something wrong with it, then he switches his tactic completely. And now he's starting to condemn you and guilt you all the time. Oh, look what you did. You better not go to communion anymore. You know, this is his tactics. And it's a good thing to be able to show people these things before they get themselves mixed up in it and to tell them not to go. And I applaud the people who do write to us and do call into our show, because what they're doing really is an act of charity. They're calling and they're saying, is there anything wrong with this? And many, many people other than themselves are going to hear the answer to that.
Yeah.
So they're helping them also to get yeah. that information that we read about in Scripture where the Lord says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. You're actually helping them by disseminating this information, because we're going to take it. And if it's something I don't have in my library, haven't researched before, I'm going to research it and blog about it.
Yeah.
That's just what's going to happen. I mean, right now I'm so bogged down in these blogs. I have so many of them waiting. They're like in a little queue in my computer. I just go from one to the other, to the other, to the other. But they're doing a great act of charity toward their neighbor by doing that. And I thank them for it because they're the ones really who have driven the blog is mm-hmm. their questions.
Yeah, you know, and I want to speak to that for just a minute too, because, you know, I don't know exactly what the ratio would be. You know, I've never done investigative research on that to any great extent. But I do know that, you know, the media pundits, the social scientists out there who, you know, are engaged in that kind of work, know that there is, every question represents X number of individuals who also have the same question.
Ooh.
And I think on the topics that we talk about on the air, that is a huge number. So every question that we get, if not, you know, descriptive in exactly the same way, nonetheless, the essence of that question, the topic that's being discussed by way of that question, probably represents, I don't know, thousands and thousands of people. You know, wow. When we talk about crystals, thousands and thousands of people, you know, when we talk about, you know, Ouija boards, and we talk about, you know, ghosts, you know, and we talk about all of the modalities that you mentioned, you know, Reiki and yoga and all of these things, I would even venture in some of these, that question represents millions of people who, if they are not asking the question, is this okay? There are people that are assuming that it is. So, you know, I just want to encourage all of you, on those days when we are taking questions, call us. Because as you say, Sue, it's an act of charity. And it's also a fulfillment of our, you know, baptismal call to be evangelizers. You know, who would ever think that you could ask a question and that would be a means of evangelization? But it truly is. Well, we want to get to the topic at hand here. And I think we've just got 2 minutes before we go to the break. 60 seconds. So I don't want to get into it now, but this is what I want you to do. We've set the stage for you, folks. We've set the stage. When we come back, Sue is going to dig into the whole process of discerning a false prophet. She'll define who a false prophet is, and she will take us into the means that are readily available to help us determine if that person is a true voice of God or not. Absolutely essential today, because I'll tell you what, there are more books on the market, both in the secular world and in the Catholic world, that would convince us of things that we really have to say, I don't know about this. I have questions. We want to help you be able to answer the very questions that you have. We're coming right back. We are inviting you to be with us. We are not taking calls. Sue's going to teach us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, friends. You're listening to Women of Grace Live. I'm Jeanette Williams, delighted to be with you today on this weird and wacky Wednesday with Wacky Wednesday Women of Grace. Sue Brinkman is with us. And, you know, today is one of those rare days that we don't take your calls. Sue is going to really, I think, give us a very good teaching on the gift of discernment when it comes to New Age things, and specifically to false prophets, since there are so many of them around. And she's going to be taking us through this process. I encouraged you at the beginning of the program to have at your ready there something to write on so that you can take notes, or if you take them on your phone, to get your fingers all supple and ready to go so that you can be nimble and get down everything you need to have. Because this is the kind of a thing that you're going to want to have at the ready, so that when something comes your way, you will be able to discern the truth from the falsehood. Want to remind you about some things coming up at Women of Grace. Want to call your attention. Our retreat is going to be happening. You know, June is going to be here sooner than later. We generally have it in July, but this year, because of the Eucharistic Congress that's taking place in Indianapolis, we are not having it the third week of July. We're having it the last week of June. So I want you to make that notation, especially those of you that come every year. We've had women that have been coming for 20 years to this event, just about 20 years. I think we've been doing it for 18. It's the weekend of June 28th through the 30th. I am going to be speaking. Father Ken Geraci is going to be speaking. And in addition, we are going to have with us Chris McGregor from Discerning Hearts. And I'm so excited about that. It's going to be a beautiful event, Divine Mercy Crucible of New Life. How about that for a topic? I really like it. I personally can't wait to see it unfold. Always we have something in our minds, you know, when we come up with these topics. We never know what the Holy Spirit is going to do. And I'm quite excited about it. Now, the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar is going to precede that. And the Benedicta Enrichment Seminar is going to be led by Chris McGregor on what I think is a marvelous topic: women, mystics, and the divine life within. Wow. Women mystics. Now, these are the real deal mystics. We don't have to discern them. The church has already done that. Women mystics and the divine life within. It's going to be fascinating. It's going to be beautiful. It is going to count for those of you that are interested in a certification in Catholic women's leadership. It is going to count for one of your elective credits. So we invite you to consider that, right? So you'll be gaining by coming a credit. So we encourage you to check it all out at our website, womenofgrace.com. By the way, if you want more information about that certification program, it comes by way of our Benedicta Institute, which also brings you these enrichment seminars. And that Benedicta Institute is named for St. Teresa Benedicta of the Cross. You can go to our website, womenofgrace.com. You'll see it listed up there. It's number one in the purple nav bar. Click on that, and it'll tell you all about what we're doing there. All of that being said, I want to get back to Sue. So Sue, false prophet definition.
Well, somebody who falsely claims to have the gift of prophecy or to speak for God. And I think also I put into that category people who misrepresent things, either intentionally or unintentionally, and perhaps especially in alternative medicine, where they're claiming that something can heal you when the science behind it is simply not there. Or they're just using user testimonials and that sort of thing. They're misrepresenting now a product. They're saying this is going to help you. This is God-given. It's natural and that sort of thing. And really, they haven't done their homework on it. They've refused to submit themselves to scientific testing for one reason or another. So they're misrepresenting things. So there's false prophets. There's all different kinds of false prophets out there, but they all essentially do the same thing, and that's they bear bad fruit.
Mm-hmm. That's
they're,
right.
They're just, yeah.
So, you know, let me ask you this question. With regard to a false prophet, do false prophets know they're false prophets?
Probably not. I think a lot of them sound very, very sincere, and they really and truly are trying to help people. There are quite a few, especially in the alternative market, plenty of them, Johnette, who are con artists. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them have rap sheets with the FDA. If you have to really look into some of these people, I'm thinking of Gary Young right now of Young Living Essential Oils. He had a rap sheet. He just had, you know, a lot of things going on in his past that were very questionable. Mostly in that particular area, you're going to find people who you really shouldn't be involved with, who've mm-hmm. been in trouble with the law in one mm-hmm. way or another, pretending that they're doctors or, putting forth false advertising in their products, and the FDA's had to, you know, warn them, send them warning letters, you know, better take this down. But how many people have already fallen for it? People who are suffering from, you know, something serious like cancer, and this was their last hope. And then, of course, they had to crush that last hope by finding out that they fell into the hands of a charlatan, and the special, you know, stem cell treatment or whatever it is that they're selling them isn't going to work, and they always knew it was never going to work. But there's some very nasty stuff out there.
There's that whole category of false prophet that talks about what's happening in the world today and interpreting it through a lens that is not in line with sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. That kind of gets people hyped up, you know, supposed revelations from God about certain things that will happen or what this means. And that's very dangerous to the faithful, that pick up that literature.
Very dangerous. And we get a lot of mail from people who are very upset about it. And that's how you know right then and there that's bad fruit. When you have people that are really scared and they don't know what to do, they're panicking. They think the end is near. Such and such said so, and they quote a lot of so-called seers and prophets who really have not been approved yet by the church. Mm-hmm. Many of them have published books on their messages, but the imprimaturs on their books were not from their bishop. When you get an imprimatur, it has to either from where you live, the bishop where you live, or where your book was published at. You can't shop around and get somebody from, say, in the Philippines or India or somebody to give you an imprimatur. That's incorrect. You're not supposed to do it that way. Then a lot of this stuff that's being assimilated out there about these messages supposedly that are from God don't really have proper imprimaturs on them. And they're frightening people. They're scaring them. I don't know what good that's supposed to be doing to them. And these are all devout people. So it's not like you're scaring people who are sinners to repent. You're scaring a lot of people out there who just don't know how to handle that kind of information, and it's not a teaching of the church. The whole thing, the warning, is not a teaching on the church.
Well, I even know people who have made major life decisions based on that information.
Yeah.
You know, in the way in which they conduct themselves and how it is that they manage their finances and, you know. So yeah, we obviously have to have our eyes open to see how God is moving. An authentic prophetic gift, which we've all been endowed with by way of our baptism, helps us to see the world through the eyes of God. But we always need to be checking ourselves and others against that word of God and against the teachings of the church who help us to interpret that word of God. And that's where I think people get into to big struggles. And then what I see is that people sell out to whatever that message is. Their life of faith centers on that message rather than on sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. And we know that private revelation, even if it's authentic, does not carry the same weight as sacred scripture and the teachings of the church. I think that Pope Benedict said that once the church has approved something, say an apparition of Our Lady, for example, then he says the faithful should give prudent adherence to it, right? Prudent adherence to it. But your life of faith doesn't depend on it,
okay.
You know? So, and so, you know, we've got to calibrate ourselves a little bit. So now you've mentioned a phrase that I know I hear a lot in sacred scripture, you know, the fruit, you know, you mm-hmm. look at the fruit. Tell us a little bit about what that means and where you find that in scripture, and tell us about how it is now that we evaluate the fruit. And let me say, evaluating fruit is what we're called to do. It isn't judging the eternal destiny of the person. That is for God to determine. But it does mean that we can make prudent and justified evaluations of what we're seeing.
Exactly, exactly. And I have always been guided from day one. I've always been guided by Matthew chapter 7, verses 17 to 23. And that is on the tree. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but underneath are ravenous wolves. By their fruits you will know them. Just so every good tree bears good fruit, and a rotten tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear good bad fruit, nor can a rotten tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. So by their fruits, you will know them. This has always guided me. And I've kind of broken down that scripture into five questions that I'll ask. And that's how I go about researching things. And the first question is, what is it? What is it that I'm looking at? And for that information, I'll go to their website and I'll take a look. Okay, what are they saying this is? And then I look for, where does it come from? What's the origin of this practice or therapy or whatever it is, or product, whatever they're selling? And for that, I look into the bios of the people who invented it. I look into those people. Who are they? Where do they come from? And then the third question I ask, how is it practiced? So again, I go to their websites. How are you using these certain things? And I'll give you the example of crystals in a minute. And I'll read their user testimonials. Most of these websites have user testimonials, which any serious researcher is going to tell you is pretty much worthless and proves nothing, because it's not objective. It's subjective. And I hate to say it, but a lot of them are made up by the people who are selling you their product. So that's the third question. The fourth question, what does the science say? Easily be found by just Google the name of the practice followed by the word scientific evidence. So what does the science say about it? And then finally, what does the church say about it? So just to do something simple and fun, you know, apply that to crystals. Okay, well, what are they? What are crystals? Well, here's the scientific definition of a crystal. It's a crystal is a solid whose atoms are arranged in a highly ordered repeating pattern. These patterns are called crystal systems. If a mineral has its atoms arranged in one of them, then that mineral is a crystal. So where does a crystal come from? Well, it's liquid rock called magma that cools. And how are they used? Well, they're commonly used. A crystal is used in decorative items. We know that in jewelry, but also like in candle holders and accents for the home, and also in sinks and countertops. A lot of them use crystals in there. But that's not how New Agers use crystal. And here's where we go off the rails. In a nutshell, they believe crystals can store and even direct different kinds of energy, including electrical energy, psychic energy, magnetic and nuclear energy. The stones supposedly absorb this energy and other forces of nature, including the touch of humans, which is why some people will cherish a particular stone because a loved one touched it, or as they call it, imprinted it. So this belief in the ability of crystals to store and direct energy is the basis for their use in healing. Now, one method used by crystal healers involves placing stones on various parts of the body, and then they direct energy from a larger stone known as an energy source into the stones on the body. Now, certain types of stones are used because they're believed to enhance psychic powers, to ward off depression, to improve one's love life, to help one accept trials, to calm your nerves, help you find clarity and peace. Well, where did they get this information? See, here's another one of those questions. Where are they getting this from? Well, when you dig into it and you look not too far, you're going to find out it comes from Edgar Cayce, a clairvoyant. His psychic readings, he wrote a book on the topic after receiving a vision about a large crystal structure that supposedly supplied power to the lost city of Atlantis. So right then and there, you got a big enough red flag to say, I'm not going anywhere near this use of crystals. Now, in ancient times, priests, shamans also used crystals in healing rituals. They used them to summon the dead, and they used them in crystal gazing, which is a form of divination. So then we asked ourselves, okay, this is what they're thinking. This is where we see that comes from. What does the science say about any of these claims that they're making about what crystals can do, particularly in healing? And there's absolutely no scientific evidence to support the efficacy of crystals in any of those applications. Only the placebo effect, as for cause of any supposed healing for the use of crystals. There's just simply nothing there. There's nothing. Now, what does the church say about crystals and the use of crystals in this way? Well, I liked what the Irish Theological Commission, they summed it up very nicely, and they said, crystals are a modern form of using the old-fashioned magic charm and other occultic objects. So, you know, even though they're merely beautiful stones, when they're used in that way, they're super. It's a form of superstition that they think they're going to be able to heal people by using that stone, even though there's no scientific basis behind that. So that's the way I go about doing it. And you could apply those questions to a lot of things. Like, what is astrology? You know, it's a belief in the notion that the location of planets in relation to constellations of the zodiac have a particular influence on each person at the moment of their birth. Well, where did that belief come from? Well, it came not from science, as most people would think. That's astronomy. It came from the Chaldeans. And they would observe the orderly movement of the planets, and they would assign godlike characteristics and powers to them, and eventually they began to worship them as gods. So the astrologers would then interpret the pattern of the planets as omens or signs of what was to come. So, as I said, it has nothing to do with astronomy, which is science. It's astrology. And in fact, when you do apply science to it, everybody who thinks they know their horoscope, their sun sign, you need to move it back one whole sign. Because when you really apply science to this rather than astrology, that's when you find out what your sign is. But, you know, once you start to apply and ask these questions, you know, where does it come from? Well, it comes from a Babylonian occult art. That's where astrology comes from. Do we even need to ask what does the science say after you get to that part? If you're a Christian, you don't want to be involved in anything that's occultic, because even if you're just reading it for fun, it can lead you into the occult. It can lead you into those things.
Well, Sue, you're saying here, I think, applies to everything that we talk about on Wacky Wednesdays. And you mentioned one thing, essential oils, you know, and essential oils have made big inroads within the Catholic community. And there's nothing the matter with an essential oil. God created the plant that provides the essential oil, just as he created the crystal, you know, through natural means, through his creation. This is our God. And he... just as he created that crystal that is so beautiful and brings us such pleasure to observe. Both of those can lead us to a deeper relationship with the Lord in that we worship him and praise him for the diversity and the beauty and the wonder of what he's created. But when we begin to attribute to them powers that they do not have, not only are we hoodwinking ourselves, but we're also taking something away from God. It's almost a misuse of the gift in a certain way. And the gift is being used in a way that profanes by saying that it has a power that belongs to God himself. To tie that into something that you mentioned earlier with regard to Jesus and Reiki, you know, where Reiki people will say that, well, see, scripture supports this. The power that came out of Jesus was Reiki power when the hemorrhaging woman was healed. No, it was her faith. So it's where are you putting your faith? Are you putting your faith in God and in the science that he's given to us to be able to reveal truth from falsehood? Or are you putting it in the item, which then makes it that superstitious item that the Irish bishops were talking about? And also, I think, prevents us from getting the very help that we need or, you know, achieving the very outcome that we're hoping for, such as health, you know?
Exactly. It's not just. It's very unjust, I think, in when they misrepresent these types of products, and also when they'll say, "Well, we don't believe in having them tested scientifically because the whole medical community is corrupt and big pharma is corrupt and blah blah."
Well,
they hide behind
that all the time. Yeah.
Yes, they hide behind that, and that becomes an excuse, a rationalization for them, and that in itself is unjust. You can't condemn a whole massive community of healthcare workers. And pharmaceutical people. I happen to know some tremendously devout Catholic pharmacists. To make those kind of rash judgments about people is just horrible. You shouldn't be doing that in the first place. And yes, you do, out of justice to your neighbor and to your community. You need to submit your product to objective scientific testing. You mm-hmm. need to do that because that's the virtue of justice there. The consumer deserves to have that. The whole reason I got involved in writing about the New Age was years and years ago when Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life, came out, and they were talking about this chi, ki, and prana, and I thought, well, what is this stuff? And I found out what it is, that it's this energy force that is not supported by science. And I just, you know, I guess you could say my head kind of exploded. I went into my editor, and I said, you know, this is ripping off consumers. This all this Reiki stuff, and that energy doesn't exist. This is wrong. We have to do something about it. And I take my hat off to her, and she said, go ahead, write about it. And that's really how it all started. It was all back in 2003 over that particular point. That's wrong. You can't do that to people. Just be honest. If you want to sell something that is kind of a little on shaky grounds, let the people see the shaky ground and make their own decision as to whether or not they want to get involved with that. Maybe some do. Maybe some won't. But I just feel like it's unjust to not really be doing what you should be doing when they're trying to sell a product. And a lot of that, like with the essential oils, like you said, the essential oils, there's nothing wrong with them. But currently, and I'm talking 2024, there is no evidence-backed research showing that any illness can be cured or treated through the use of essential oils or the practice of aromatherapy. That's just a fact. Mm-hmm. That's a fact of science. And it's just, okay, God gave us this science. You need to just listen to that. Because if you don't, you're going to try to use these essential oils on something that is contagious, something that could be life-threatening. And what is that? Well, the directives for hospital workers and healthcare workers, the Catholic directives, tell us that that's a violation of the virtue of charity toward others. You're not being charitable by using something like this that you know doesn't have that kind of backing. And you're using it in a way that could subject other people to harm, including making your family suffer because you haven't, you know, you're not going to be healed from something because you're using, say, an essential oil or something else. I'm just using essential oils as an example here. It's not just. It's not just to behave that way. So, and you can't hide behind the big pharma thing. You just can't do that. That's unfair to do that. Come out from behind that and look at something through the eyes of science and make a determination and allow other people to do the same thing. And I've found that when I apply my five-question test, I barely even get through the first two. And it's already eliminated.
Yeah. Oh my. Well, I'll tell you what, Sue, you have given us valuable information today, and I hope every single one of us listening today takes it to heart and begins to apply it when we see these weird and wacky things coming our way, or something that sounds too good to be true. You know, that's always a sign it probably isn't. Sue, I can't believe we're at the end of the show. I mean, it went so quickly. Thank you so very, very much. We're going to be back with you with Wacky Wednesday again next Wednesday, but I'm going to be back with you again tomorrow. And so until we have that opportunity, stay well, stay in the Lord, and stay on your knees in prayer. How's that? Three good stay-ons and stay-ins. Thanks, Sue, and God bless all of you. Bye-bye now.